Would you please turn with me in your pew Bibles to Mark chapter 5, beginning with verse 21, which is found on page 37 of the New Testament. And when Jesus had crossed again in the boat to the other side, a great crowd gathered about him, and he was beside the sea. Then came one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name, and seeing him, he fell at his feet and besought him, saying, "My little daughter is at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her, so that she may be made well and live." And he went with him. And a great crowd followed him and thronged about him. And there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, and who had suffered much under many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was no better, but rather grew worse. She had heard the reports about Jesus, and came up behind him in the crowd, and touched his garment. For she said, "If I touch even his garments, I shall be made well." And immediately the hemorrhage ceased, and she felt her body, that she was healed of her disease. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." While he was still speaking, there came from the ruler's house some who said, "Your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further?" But ignoring what they said, Jesus said to the ruler of the synagogue, "Do not fear, only believe." And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. When they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue, he saw a tumult and people weeping and wailing loudly. And when he entered, he said to them, "Why do you make a tumult and weep? The child is not dead, but sleeping." And they laughed at him. But he put them all outside and took the child's father and mother and those who were with him and went in where the child was. Taking her by the hand, he said to her, "Talitha kumi," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, arise." And immediately the girl got up and walked. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. And he strictly charged them that no one should know this, and told them to give her something to eat. This is the word of God.
Thanks be to God.
We'll move on to our message this morning, and you get two for the price of one today. Two stories in one sermon. And yes, I'm going to take 2 weeks to preach it, so you can be relieved, okay? But this is an interesting account here before us, because as you see, it's sort of a sandwich in that you start with one story and then you move to another story and then come back to the original story. So you have the two pieces of bread with the meat in the middle. And this technique is often used, and it was used in the Bible and in several places, as a way to have interplay between the two different stories. They're like foils to each other and being brought together in this way. And we observe things and we can contrast and compare in ways that we wouldn't normally do when you use this sort of sandwich approach. Now, I don't think Mark just invented this and put these stories together in this way. I think they actually occurred this way, but they were remembered by Mark's source. We believe it was Peter. And out of all the things Jesus did, this double account was remembered and it was taken by Mark and recorded for us. And so this sort of sandwich, these two interlocking stories, are given to us on purpose and with purpose. Both these stories are about having faith in Jesus in the midst of hopeless situations. There is a man with a daughter who is dying, and a woman with her own chronic, incurable medical condition. And Jesus, through these stories recorded, wants us to know his great compassion and his almighty power to save amidst the most dire and hopeless situations that you and I face. Now, in these two intertwined stories, we see how two very different people wrestled with faith in the midst of their own overwhelming situations. And we see how our Lord responded. So we begin with this man, Jairus, and he was one of the rulers of the synagogue. He was a layman. He was one of a group of people who functioned similar to our elders today, although in a Jewish culture, a monotheistic culture, these men had great prominence. They were of great importance, and they were usually leaders in the community and successful people, probably well-to-do people as well. And Jairus, who's this prominent man, comes to Jesus as Jesus is ministering in the midst of this huge crowd. Jesus has returned from the Gentile side of the lake back to the Jewish side, and the crowds are around him once again, crushing crowds, as the Greek describes it. And Jairus finds his way through the crowd, perhaps being respected. The crowd actually parted for him. And he comes and he falls at the feet of Jesus Christ. He's falling before him in desperation. And he's saying, Jesus, please, please come to my home. My daughter is at the very point of death. There's not a moment to spare. This is an emergency. Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her. And Jesus agrees to go, and quickly they depart, and the whole crowd is traveling with them. This huge crowd down these narrow streets, jostling and pushing and pressing against one another, reaching into Jesus, excited at what is going to happen. And suddenly, in the midst of this snake-like movement down these narrow streets, Jesus abruptly stops and spins around and begins to look around at the people behind him, and he says, "Who touched my garment?" And he waits, and the crowd backs up a little bit from him, and he's looking back and forth, and then in the awkward silence, this frail little woman steps out, shaking, breathing in anxiety, and comes up to Jesus and falls at his feet and begins to tell him her story. You know, the disciples were puzzled by Jesus' response, and they said, "Why in the world are you asking who touched my garment when there's probably 1,000 people around you who have been touching you?" And yet, you see, we have the inside scoop. Jesus had felt this power go out of him, a sudden sort of exhausting, wearying, sort of draining from him. And he knew that someone behind him had touched his garment, not his body, his garment, and that this person must have had some special significance in that the power of Jesus Christ to heal had gone forth to this person. So our second person appears and falls at the feet of Jesus. trembling, the scriptures say, probably tears streaming down her face, maybe even wailing with emotion. She tells him who she is and how she had developed this terrible malady, some sort of gynecological problem, a hemorrhaging that caused her to bleed continually. For 12 years, she had been in this wretched condition. No one was able to help her. She had been to physician after physician and had only grown worse. She had finally spent everything that she had. She had nowhere else to turn and no one to turn to. She grew more and more frail, more disabled and hopeless. And in addition, she lived among people who understood her to be in a state of uncleanness in accordance with the law of Moses. And as a result, she was forced to live in isolation, most likely, to touch no person or thing. She was prevented from going to the synagogue or enjoying the relationships of family and friends. Her life was a living curse. But then she had heard about Jesus. And so she had come that day feeling so much shame and unworthiness, but believing that if she could just come up from behind, remaining hidden, and touch the tassel at the corner of his garment, that she would be healed. Do we hear what she thought? She didn't say to herself, "Well, I've tried everything else. I might as well try this." Nor did she think she might be healed. She believed that she would be healed. Where did such faith come from, do you think? But all she wanted, all she expected, was a miracle of being healed of her affliction. She didn't feel worthy to trouble Jesus, to interrupt him, to detain him from his more important work with more important people. She just wanted to draw a little from behind, to ride in his wake, so to speak, to get some of the spillover as he passed by in the most unobtrusive manner as possible. And so she makes her plans that day to get close enough to touch his garment. She pushes through the crowd, getting closer and closer to him. Now was the opportunity she had been waiting for he turned away from her. He's moving in another direction. She's close enough. She reaches out her shaking hand to the tassel in the corner of Christ's garment and feels it brush her hand. And when it does, she feels a power course through her. And she knows, she can tell immediately that her condition, with all of its symptoms and discomforts, is in a flash totally gone. But then she hears him speak. He had spun around and he's looking around and he's saying, "Who touched my garment? Who touched my garment?" And she knew she could hide no longer. And as she told all this story, Jesus stood before her. Are his hands on her shoulders? Is his face shining and radiating with joy and delight? Are his eyes full of tenderness and compassion? Here is one he has come seeking. This woman is precious to his heart, loved before the foundation of the world. He was soon going to lay down his very life for her. And she had been given a gift of faith that she might lay hold of her Savior and come to know him. You see, Jesus wants so much more than to merely take away this woman's affliction, her malady, her scourge, as he calls it. He wants to raise her up. He wants to call her daughter. He wants to see that not only the illness is gone, but that her entire life is made whole and filled with his peace. The woman is too ashamed to directly approach Jesus. She does not want to draw his attention. She's only going to touch his garment, not his body, so he won't feel her. She feels unworthy of his notice. She just wants to remain hidden, worship him from afar as she receives her own secret miracle from the one she believes in, but dare not disturb, unclean, impoverished, frail, nobody that she is. But Jesus won't hear of it. Who touched my garment? Here's an interesting question. Did Jesus know who had touched him? True, he's looking around as if he doesn't know, but he could have been doing that until the woman came forward. Sometimes God asks questions that he knows the answer to, doesn't he? Like when Adam was hiding in the garden after sinning against God, and God says, "Adam, where are you?" It isn't that God needs to know anything. It is more that we need to know that he is seeking us. That in our very place of shame and unworthiness, he desires to have relationship with us. I guess we can't really answer this question whether it was hidden from Jesus or not. That at this point, his human nature, regardless, perceived something. And whether his human nature veiled his deity from what he was, from being able to see, we don't know, but it doesn't really matter because in some mysterious way, this woman was recognized. Her faith had been given, and it was put into action by the woman and drew the affirmation of God and his blessing. And Jesus was given at least enough insight into this by his Father. He realized that power had gone out of him, and that meant that a child of God with faith had touched him. And he seemed to know this person was behind him, and that this person had only touched his garment. It gets you thinking, what was this all about? I think Jesus discerned the shame and fear in this woman, and he knew that as much as she needed healing from her infirmity, she needed perhaps even more. The healing of her inner being from the effects of the past 12 years that had left her absolutely crushed and broken in spirit. And this could only come through her being brought face to face with Jesus. Only his affirmation through direct encounter could bring validation to this crushed spirit of a person. She thought she only needed to be healed of her physical infirmity. She thought she only needed her miracle. But Jesus knew she needed more than this. She needed him. She needed to find him. She needed to be affirmed and loved by him. She needed to hear him call her daughter and to publicly recognize her and single her out from the crowd to tell her that she was not only healed, but that she was saved in the fullest, richest meaning of that glorious word. Saved from disease, saved from sin, saved from shame, saved from death, saved to eternal glory. And Jesus spoke his peace into her life. As she went her way that day, she just didn't have only the health needed to return to her old life, but she had infinitely more. She had come to know the Savior of the world. She wasn't just shouting, "I'm healed." She was singing what we just heard. "I am his, and he is mine." She had found the one who was she was created for. She had come to know love incarnate. You see, this story reveals to us how vitally important each of us are individually to the Lord. Could he have been more pressed by the crowd, more urgently needed by this important man for his important need? But he was stopped outright by this nobody of a woman. And what caused him to stop? Was it that her condition was worse than Jairus' daughter? No. It was her faith that grabbed hold of Jesus. And was it a strong, mature faith? No. It was a weak, incomplete, faltering, shrinking, fearful faith. And yet, Jesus did not despise it. He honored it. It moved him. Everything else stopped for this woman. That is how important a person with faith is to Jesus. A person who comes to him no matter what their condition and reaches out to Jesus, believing that he is the way, the truth, and the life, that he is God coming into this world to set all things to rights, and that he has come to bring salvation for all who believe, who trust in him. That kind of faith, no matter how poor and weak and partial, Jesus will never walk past or ignore. It will always make him stop outright. It will always have the time. He will always have the time to give his full attention and fullest blessings to such a person, to meet such a person face to face, and to change his or her life forever. And it was with such faith that this woman approached Jesus. She had heard of him. She believed, based on the teaching of the Torah and the prophets, she believed that he was the promised one sent of God. And she acted on that belief. As partial and incomplete, remember, we're before the cross, but with what God revealed to her, she acted upon it and reached out to touch him. When she knew that nothing else, no one else could help her, she believed that Jesus could and that he would. That is faith. And this is what honors God. This is what pleases God. He wants to be to each of us what nothing else, nobody else, can be. He wants to be our loving Savior and our powerful Lord. It is this poor, wretched, hopeless woman, this single nobody, is given all the attention of the one who in the beginning was with God. He's unrushed. He's undistracted, he's uninterrupted. All his attention, power, and love is directed towards her, and everyone has to stand in silence, even Jairus, whose daughter, you remember, is at death's door. Everyone needs to learn the importance, the value of each one of God's beloved children, that nothing or no one will keep the Savior from the one he came to seek and to save. Are you his dear child of faith? Have you ever caused Jesus to say, "Who touched my garment?" What is the hopeless situation in your life? What have you perhaps spent all your resources trying to fix and seen it only get worse? What is it that has overwhelmed you, stripped you of your self-confidence, caused you to retreat from the world? Have you ever really gone to Jesus like this woman did? Have you ever lifted a trembling hand to even touch the tassel of his garment? I tell you on the authority of his word that if you do, he will not ignore you. Whether he will immediately change your situation, I cannot say. That is up to his sovereign and gracious purpose for you. But one thing you surely will find, you will find one who will ultimately save you to the fullest and bring the most wonderful peace to you. And you will find his love. You will see him face to face. He won't let you hide from him. You will find one who will say, "Daughter, son, go in peace. Your faith has saved you." It isn't enough for us to do what the t-shirt says, just believe. Everything hangs on whom you believe in. Jesus and Jesus alone is the hope of the world. He is God come in the flesh, and he has come to save us. He is now dwelling in another dimension of reality, living for his people, doing everything in his awesome power to raise up our lives. And the Holy Spirit is his agent in this world, meeting us, revealing him to us, filling us with his presence, uniting us to him, that Jesus might in turn bring us to the Father, and we might be enfolded into the love and life of the three-personed God forever. All you and I are called to do is to believe in him, to reach out even in our weakness and to touch his garment. He will meet you. He will heal you. He will speak peace to your soul. He will save you forevermore. This is his joy. This is why he came. Reach out to him today, maybe truly for the first time, maybe for the thousandth time. Don't delay. Go to him. He will not ignore you or cast you away. He will see you. He will validate you with a love and power that will transform your life forever. Don't stop until you are able to sing those wonderful words. I am his, and he is mine. I am his, and he is mine.